From the Standing Stone Farm Studio right outside downtown Nashville, it's time for the most ridiculous sports podcast in the world. So sit back, relax, and listen as Bobby Butler and Brandon Bond crack open a cold one and talk all things hockey, pop culture, and complain about everyday situations. It's the Pucks Out Podcast on the Penalty Box Radio Network.
Welcome into the most ridiculous podcast in sports and pop culture. I'm Bobby. He's Brandon.
Hey-o.
You can find us on the three majors of social media at Pucks Out Pod. Now let's crack open this cold May Day beer and let's get after it. Oof. As always, Pucks Out is powered by May Day Brewery, the official beer of Pucks Out Podcast. Check them out every Tuesday for Singo. Thursday for bingo. It's always a great time. Today we've got a bunch of news. We are in the final stretch of the NHL season. We've got March Madness and we've got NFL free agency plus much more. How are you this week, bud?
I'm good, man. I'm glad my week is over. I'm off tomorrow. This is Wednesday, nice. So I'm off on Thursday, and then it's always a good Friday that I'm off, so I'll be off on a good Friday as well. So long weekend, so glad about that. Gonna go fishing tomorrow, bro.
Nice.
My uncle and my father-in-law, he's got a pond back here across the street. So I'm gonna tell you this, Bobby, I 100% guarantee, 100% guarantee I'm gonna catch a buzz, dude. So you already know. Hey, maybe a fish too. I'm not gonna guarantee the fish. If I can guarantee the buzz, it's going to be a good day out by the pond, bro. How are you doing, my dude?
Well, it's a great week. I'm on spring break. And then we had a crawfish boil this last weekend in East Tennessee. So it's been an absolutely great week. Just, nice. You know, been kind of rejuvenating, catching up on sleep, playing some video games. And, you know, we've got a long weekend, you know. And then next weekend is also long because we're off for the eclipse. So Rutherford County closed schools for the eclipse. So that'll be a nice 3-day weekend
like
as well.
Is that like a normal thing?
Well, I mean, it's if when there's eclipses, which isn't very often, they sometimes close school.
Okay.
Yeah,
There's no judgment. There's no judgment. Anything to get a day off, but it just kind of sounds like you're making something up at this point.
Well,
like my dude's so like, I'm trying to see. You know,
so there's a couple things that go into it. We have snow days, so we still have snow days that we didn't use. And it's use them or lose them. Plus, because the eclipse is happening,
it's lose them.
Yeah,
lose them. So, I would much rather tack them on
the eclipse
the end
is
of
happening
my
at
year, dude. Tack. Look, dude, don't like make me use it for bullcrap, dude. You want to take the day off to go see the eclipse on your own, buddy? Go for it. But I would like to be off earlier, and you know, I don't know.
I don't make the rules. They can't tack them on at the end.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying. So.
Sure. It just seems like
they're doing it because they can't, because the eclipse is happening at around dismissal time, they can't keep kids from looking at it. So the county doesn't want that liability. So by not having them in school, now it's on the parents to keep their kids from looking at the eclipse and hurting their eyes. At least that's the official reason.
That's the story on the circuit, huh?
Yeah.
I'm gonna look deeper into this, dude. There's somebody somewhere is making a little money off eclipse days, my dude. He's got a glasses selling business on the side. He's like, look, guys, you gotta buy these. The eclipse is coming. Look, it's so dangerous that school let you watch.
Yeah.
So like, not having these glasses, number one, you're not cool. Number two, you're blind forever. So those are the only two options here.
How about a quick fit check before we get into the episode? What you got?
Yeah, just the standard, you know, I guess it's like a plaid, right? You know, like a plaid checkerboardish, just a work shirt, man. And then I got the, the Preds are doing well down the home stretch. So I got the state traditions Preds hat on here. From the arena, so they're doing real nice, even kind of pushing towards that last spot in the Central. So I figured, hey, why not jump back on the bandwagon, Bobby? Even though we were the guys like, you got to sell. You got to sell. It's like, now, it's like, I'm going to be there for that 2017 run if we have it, my dude. You know, like, I'll be there.
Always. Yeah.
Well, we got Vancouver right now? Yeah, bro. Smashing up on Vancouver, dude. You know?
Yeah.
How about you, man? What you got?
Yeah. I've got the Terps hat, and I'm rocking my offensive lineman pancake platoon shirt.
Sick.
But let's jump straight into the news.
Everything you need to know about what's happening on the ice. It's time for news from inside the boards.
All right, some news coming out of Edmonton. Jay Woodcroft is out as their head coach. Chris Knobloch is taking the position.
Knobloch has been
the head coach
of
the Hartford Wolfpack. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think this guy
is that an
is
interim
a, guy,
or is he's got the job. I did not see.
I have not seen. I do not know. The Edmonton Oilers announced that they had hired Knobloch as the head coach to replace. So this is not a. This does not read as a temporary. This is a new hire. Yes. He's a first time head coach in the NHL.
So it's not even. We're not even clearing up a room. We're not even clearing up a room at the coach house. This is garbage.
Welcome into the carousel.
I will say we can go ahead and say that half of my Jack Adams pick. I don't have a chance anymore. I'm guessing Woodcroft probably doesn't get the Jack Adams Coach of the Year award.
That would be
having
wild.
Been fired. That'd be absolute. Can
It'd
we
be
agree?
So funny
though, Bobby. I'm gonna go a little unprecedented. It wasn't previously established, but can we agree that if Jay Woodcroft wins the Jack Adams, I get my full point values.
Yes,
I get my 2 points.
Plus 3 points.
I get 5 points solid straight up if Jay Woodcroft wins the Jack Adams. That's fair. And that goes, that's a new late season implemented rule for all of the award picks because, you know, that's easy money. I mean, a fired guy, like, how do you win Coach of the Year? Like, dude, getting fired was the best move for you this year, buddy, and you did a really good job. Yeah.
I wonder what the odds are for gambling.
The odds are probably not good. Probably going to throw a few bucks on it. Probably going to throw a few bucks on it, dude, because it's probably not impossible. I would like to do a little research. It's probably never been done. Yeah. It's 2024, man. We're breaking barriers all the time.
Yeah, there's no rules that say it can't
there's
happen.
There's no rules that says the guy that got fired can't be the best coach in the league.
Yeah.
Okay?
When in doubt, it's the Airbud clause.
It's the Airbud clause. I'm not sure what the Airbud clause is, but I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
You know,
there's no rule that says dogs can't play basketball.
Gotcha. The Airbud. Yeah. That's what they call all clauses that just that's a loophole, Bobby. That's been in That's just a loophole in the contract, but I'm good with the Airbud clause.
Yeah, it's what they say in court. It's like the official term for the Airbud. Yeah.
Right. I didn't the legally. Which is funny. It never came up when I was a juror. You know, and I obviously am not a bit. Yeah. I don't like to bring up the fact that I was on a juror on a three-week medical malpractice jury. I rarely bring it up unless prompted, but. We didn't have any of that. It wasn't any Airbud clauses.
What the listener doesn't realize is that I edited out the other three times you brought it up the same episode.
Perfect. Well, see, that's why I'm able to just say whatever I want 100 times because I know I'm only going to be saying it once to the folks. You're the only person that has to listen to me say it 200 times because you got to listen to it the first 100, then you got to listen to it the second 100. They only have to hear me say it once. So I'm good, man. That's perfect for me.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. So the President's Cup race is heating up.
Ooh,
I texted you about this last night when I was looking at it. 10 teams are within 10 points of the leader right now. There are roughly 20 remaining points possible for most teams, meaning that there are about 10 games left. Most teams are at the 72 mark. So if teams went out, that's 20 points. So it is very, now that's yeah, 10 teams within the 10 point lead. There is about, I think, 14 teams within 12, 13 points.
Yeah.
So that's almost half
right
the
there,
lead,
man. Yeah. I think,
I don't think we've ever been this late in the season. And
we
almost
switched,
half the league
we both switched to
eligible.
Florida and we, one of us really should have pulled off and said, you know, it's mid season. It's a little early. I don't think Florida's got it, man.
They're sitting at 97 points. They're in a tough division.
Yeah.
Right now, the Rangers are. Yeah, Boston's right there. I mean, I'm going to say right now, if the Preds stay as hot as they have, we could be looking at a Nashville Predators.
It's not impossible.
I mean, they have been, and we're going to talk about this coming up. That's actually the next thing we're talking about, so we can go ahead and talk about that at the same time. Last night, the Preds were down big against the reigning champions, and they, and I stopped watching. I was at the bar. I was at MJ's with my brother-in-law and some of my the other coaches playing trivia, and we were kind of, the game was on the background, and we kind of stopped paying attention when they were down like 4-0. They came back in overtime and won 5-4. That takes them to 16-0-2 in the last 18. They're in a 18 game point streak right now. That is the longest in franchise history by a long shot. I don't know what the league, I think Oilers set a league record. Didn't they set a league record recently for a point streak in the NHL?
I'm going to look.
I wonder what that is.
I've got you on that research, my friend.
I see. These are points for skaters, not for teams.
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, all I'm seeing is for scoring points, not team points. Longest point streaks in a season. Okay, the Philadelphia Flyers had a 35 game point streak.
It's pretty good. That's a lot of games.
Yeah. However, there's a lot of teams who are 18. So right now, Preds are at 23rd. If they get one more, then they jump up to 15. Yeah, I mean. And then once they break, if they break 20, then they get into some, you know, the 1970s Montreal Canadiens
right
kind of stuff.
When there's like
so
12
now
teams.
They have their work cut out for them. This week, this next game is against Arizona.
Yeah.
Then they play Colorado. So
yeah.
This is when we'll see what they're made of. So, but I mean, they're looking good. They have
hot
they
at the
jumped
right time.
Up to a yeah.
Hot at the right time. We've seen a hot Preds team going on a big run, man. So maybe in a couple of months, 3 months, we'll be on the streets of Nashville.
Yeah, yeah. Philip Forsberg hits 40 goals this season.
Yeah, man. That has been the big change, and I want to highlight, I mean, Ryan O'Reilly, I feel like has to have a lot to do with that. We've really have a finally have like a true center distributor type of guy. Forsberg is looking fantastic this year. He is doing well for me, helping me dominate in some fantasy hockey. You know, playoffs are upon us. I'm sorry to see that you lost, Bobby. I was hoping that you were going to get your shot at me in hockey's league, but no worries. I will avenge you. I'm the only guy that has beat hockey. I beat him twice this year. I'm not scared of the guy. I'm not scared of the guy. I hope he doesn't listen, because now he's going to pump up the ball. I think he resets the amount of ads that he can do like every night. Like this guy, I got him though. He's done. No. Forsberg, lead me to the ship. Preds winning the President's Cup. Preds winning the Stanley Cup. This is my year. It's aligning.
Yeah. That overtime winner also puts Philip Forsberg tied for first in game-winning goals this season.
Nice.
And then UC Saros, number one in games played above Alexander Gorgiev at 57.
Yeah, and if he keeps it up, the Vezina... It's a real shot that it comes his way if this streak continues, like you said, about 20 points remaining for all the teams, about 10 games left. So Let's see. Yeah, Preds have 72 games played, so 10 games left. Do we have Saros's stats?
Yes. So right now he's got, let's see, so 57 games played compared to last season, 64 total. So he's creeping up on that. He's got 32 wins right now. He's looking at a save percentage of 909. So it's always good to be up in those nines. And then goals allowed average 2.75, three shutouts as of right now. So, but I think he got two like in the last week. And then, so yeah, he's looking pretty. He does have 2 points already this season.
I mean, that should put it over the edge. Points usually play.
Yeah. But he has been in the Vezina running for the last 3 years in a row. So, and he was in the Hart. He was in Hart contention in 3 years ago.
Nathan MacKinnon and Nikita Kucherov up at 123 points, 123, and McDavid right behind at 119. We've got currently we got five guys over 100. Rantanen's at 97, yeah. Nylander's at 94, Matthews is at 93, Draisaitl 93, and JT Miller at 91. With so five more guys possibly going to 100 points this year. Pretty nuts. Yeah, Saros is at the top of the Vezina odds with plus 600 with what I'm seeing on the FanDuel research.
Did you say Saros is?
Yes.
Wow. Well, that's he's
five. It's a five-way tie between Saros, Vasilevsky, Hellebuck, Sorokin, and Shesterkin at plus 600 for all of them. I'm going to parlay it.
All of them?
Yes, every single one.
So that actually brings us into our next, speaking of Hellebuck, the Jets have been struggling, and they're struggling at about the worst time you could for a team right now.
Yeah.
They are sitting at, I think they've lost four in a row, and they are just leaving that door wide open for the Preds to come back right now.
Four, five, and one in their last ten.
Behind them. I mean, they are struggling, and this is not a league that you want to go into. Like, if the Preds can jump that spot, that means Winnipeg will have to face a strong, I believe, Stars team. I think a very strong Stars or Canucks team, and that would mean Preds get to go against, I believe, the Oilers, maybe?
No, the good news for the Preds is they'd get to play a pretty weak Colorado team, Bob. Kind of actually wanting to keep our wild card spot here, because currently we would be playing Vancouver by 1 point. Call me crazy, but I'd rather play Dallas, Winnipeg.
Yeah,
Vancouver. There is lots.
I'd rather play any other team, really, than Colorado.
Yes,
to be honest,
I would not like to, because I mean, they. I just feel, I don't know. Hey, we'll see. Saturday night's a good time to see it, but I just don't want to see Rantanen and MacKinnon. Yeah. To be honest
again,
with you,
that's why I think. Yeah. But all right, so. Let's go to outside the NHL.
Now that you know what's happening inside the boards, time for the rest of the headlines with news from outside the boards.
All right, so March Madness. We are well into the, we are headed into the Elite Eight, or the Sweet 16, I believe. Is that correct? Did we already have the
Sweet 16? Sweet 16 is happening tomorrow and Friday, and then the Elite Eight will happen Saturday and Sunday. So we have Clemson, Arizona, San Diego State, UConn, Alabama, North Carolina, Illinois, Iowa State, and on Friday we have North Carolina State, Marquette, Duke, Houston, Creighton, Tennessee, Gonzaga, Purdue. So not a lot of upsets. We have North Carolina State at the 11 seed being the highest, but a lot of name recognition there. All four ones will be playing in the Sweet 16. I believe all four twos and three two of the threes and then two of the
Oakland
fours.
Upset Kentucky, which I think that Oakland win was the biggest upset.
Oakland with a big upset, Yale with a big upset. Let's not linger on that upset too much. That one was rough. It was a tough flagrant two call on Baker Mazzara early.
Yeah.
But that is absolutely no excuse. You go into halftime, you're a much better team. You have much better players there. So don't hear what I'm not saying, Bobby. I don't think that was a flagrant two and he shouldn't have been tossed. But that changes nothing. You lost bad. You looked bad. You lost a lead. The refereeing was overall bad, and that's not just for one or the other. It was terrible, but you had 9-2 fouls at some point. It was just a bad game overall for Auburn. They looked bad. They were poised for a good tournament run, but Yale did what they needed to do. Oakland, like you said, did what they needed to do against Kentucky, but then everything kind of settled out. North Carolina State moving on, being kind of the only one, and that's a hot team from a decent conference in the ACC. Any thoughts on what's happening, what's remaining? I'm sure all of our brackets are busted, but everybody's brackets are busted, so we always have a chance. Anybody in particular that, like you said, oh, this team's going to go on a run that really killed you? Obviously, Auburn, you had them as your championship, but mine was every single 11 seed won except for one, the team that was supposed to win and beat Clemson and move on. So the Lobos, New Mexico, they got me. They got me pretty good. I don't think I had Clemson winning in any bracket. So I did have Oregon winning in every bracket. So that was nice to have picked that way. So.
Yeah, I think I'm looking through here. Unfortunately, Sleeper doesn't let me look at the thing on the computer. I have to get on the app and do that.
Ah, that's weird.
Yeah, it said it's not supported yet, so I can't look at mine. I think everyone other than Auburn, which I had them winning two of my brackets. Mm-hmm. I want to say then I had them beating Marquette. I had Marquette doing go now. Marquette, they are a two seed, so it's not like, oh, Marquette going. But I want to say Michigan State was a team that I had making it to the Elite Eight. I think I had Alabama beating. I think I had Michigan State beating Alabama in one. And then I think in two of my other brackets, I had Clemson facing off against the Zags, I think.
Okay. So I think I had Clemson couple still on.
Making
wow.
a run.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, everything is possible because everybody's just kind of busted. You know, this is when if you've picked a good amount of the teams that are in the Sweet 16 where you can really start to make your points due to the value of them. So,
yeah,
we'll see. I got Creighton going I pretty far. Tennessee, I got Tennessee going kind of far in some. Yeah. So we'll have to
I thought Texas was going to show up a little bit better against Tennessee.
I see. Now, Texas killed me because I had them losing a good bit. Forget who they played in the first round.
Colorado State.
Yeah, I was a Colorado State guy. Usually one of the play-in teams moves on traditionally. And so Colorado State, they looked good. I saw that first four play-in game. And they played Texas pretty decently. But Tennessee went out there and knocked them. So I got a few brackets and we'll just have to see. You know, there are some that are looking good.
I think
some that are not looking
good.
I think
my biggest... what killed me was my overvaluing the SEC.
Sure.
Obviously, now I want to take a detour real quick and talk about you and I's amazing ability to predict the future, at least for the SEC tournament. Mm-hmm. Before the tournament started, you listeners out there, we recorded our last episode before the SEC tournament started. I predicted Auburn was going to win. He predicted Florida was going to win. And we said how crazy and unlikely it would be if those two faced off in the championship. Well, they did. And then Auburn won it. So I was on top of the world there for a little bit.
And you got sucked in. But I got sucked in too. One of my brackets did have Auburn. But that wasn't out of a place if they were my my team or whatever.
My team and I had them winning. Yeah.
Bruce Pearl went, is a good coach. and went on a little, you know, has been on a few runs before. And that was a team with some star power that had underperformed all season. It was not a crazy pick from you or from anybody. So, hey, yeah. But, you now, know, it hurts, but you just move on, man. It's just gotta be that
before
way.
Before we move on, I do want to talk about the future of John Calipari. It has been confirmed he's returning next year for Kentucky's head coach. I think that's a bad decision. I believe John Calipari is now washed up and has no place coaching at a school like Kentucky anymore.
It's because for long-term success, the one-and-done superstar guy, five-star athlete that he brings in and just churns out as a general rule, it's not going to work. I think that it's kind of switching in tournament play. But no, I don't disagree that he's had his time in the sun. I don't know if you have a name or a candidate in which you would like to bring in, but it's a pretty coveted job, and recruiting is tough, and Calipari's name gets you guys in the door. It's not like they're not still churning out, you know, some decent NBA talent. But I hear you. This is not me defending John Calipari at all.
Don't get me wrong. If the school's only goal is to get NBA draft picks out of there, fine. I thought the goal was to win a championship, but the man, he only has one national title in 2012. His most recent Final Four appearance was in 2015. In the 2021 season, they had the program's worst record in the last century, and they have been exiting early for the last 3 years. I mean, at some point, they need to.
Like I said, defending. Not defending that at all. However, if you did watch that Oakland game, the Golkey kid, he diced him up. What's his name? I forget his name.
Jack
Golkey. That man had no business hitting half the shit he was hitting, dude. He absolutely hit it. And I'm not taking away anything from this cat. He was nasty, nasty, dude. It's an overall pattern and trend. I don't care. Because let's hope Kentucky stays bad, dude. Nobody wants Kentucky to be good.
Yeah, I mean, it's very clear why they kept him. The $33 million they would have to owe him in a buyout probably has something to do with why they're keeping him.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to pay out $33 million and then pull in a guy and churn through some coaches before you find the right guy.
Yeah. So, again, not big Kentucky fans. Doesn't really bother me too much, but job is to make hot takes. And so John Calipari washed up. All right. So our main topic of the day, we've got NFL free agency. A lot of moves have been being made. We're going to talk about some of them. Let's move to a team that I, am always keeping track of. That's my Washington football. Last time we left off, the most recent pickup was Marcus Mariota, assuming to be a backup to someone who, assuming that hopefully, and I don't know, want to say hopefully, but assuming they're going to draft a quarterback. Since then, they've picked up a guy that used to be great in fantasy, Austin Eckler, agreed to 2-year deal for $11.5 million. We did not re-sign Antonio Gibson, so assuming that's where he's going to fill that role.
Yeah, Gibson went to,
in my opinion, the best pickup. Yeah, and I think that's a good. I mean, he's an aging running back a little bit. I think that's a good home for him. In my opinion, the best pickup Washington's made in a long time. I think this is a great one of the best defensive players in the league, and that's Bobby Wagner. That is a great veteran presence in the locker room. He is 34, so again, he's old. What does he have left in the tank? We'll see.
Yeah,
The question is he going to be an every down player? Who knows?
Let's hope so. I mean, I have him in our defensive dynasty league. So he, helped lead me to a championship year one. So I need something from him. Yeah, man. I guess I'll just go ahead and talk the Titans, and then we'll kind of go through a highlight reel.
There's one big commander pickup I want to talk about someone who I think this is a game changer, and he hasn't done much but he's reunited with his old offense coordinator, Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz You know, he's had a couple struggling seasons, but he is a playmaker there at tight end. I mean, he was always kind of overshadowed in his career by Kelce and Gronk. I mean,
Bobby, tell me the truth, because half of it's mine. How much do the Commanders pay you to tout these free agency signings? This is a great team. They have knocked this out of the park in 2019, dude. If this was 2019 and they're signing these cats, this is a solid roster. You're like playing Madden my team over there, and you got the 2019 Zach Ertz card, and you're like, hell yeah, dude. No, those are some good signings. I wonder who there's talk of JJ McCarthy being taken at two there. And I'm interested to see if that really occurs. I don't know that I would like that as much. But no, they've definitely made some moves. So the Titans, Mason Rudolph signed as a backup there. I think we talked about Tony Pollard and Calvin Ridley already.
Yeah, we did.
Re-signed Westbrook Kine.
And they have one of my favorite signings.
L'Jarius Sneed. L'Jarius Sneed acquired in a trade from the Chiefs for a third and a swap in 2024 seventh round picks. And they've already signed him. And then Nick Folk signed to a 1-year deal. So a new kicker there in Tennessee. So I guess here in Tennessee, right, Bobby? I haven't moved, so I'm still in Tennessee. Not huge splashes for the Buffalo Bills. Curtis Samuel was a good signing, I think. AJ Epenesa, he re-signed there. Got a lot. Made a few moves on defense, but nothing huge. What do we got? Any team you want to hit specifically?
Not team, but like. A player that I absolutely love. He's one of my favorite players in the league. He's never been on a team that I'm a big supporter of. And that is probably this man's going to, in my opinion, go in the Hall of Fame for his kick returning ability. And that is Cordarrelle Patterson. He is headed to the Steelers. I think he has the league record in.
He's pretty good. I mean, he's going to not get a lot of runtime for sure. Like that. Steelers making a big splash for sure. Justin Fields coming over in a trade with Chicago. The deal is it's a conditional third, day three pick. So if he plays 51% of the snaps, then the pick increases in value. So most likely won't, and Russell Wilson will start. Tomlin has come out and said that Russell Wilson's in the pole position for the job. Van Jefferson signed there. Patrick Queen signing there. That's a pretty big deal. They have traded Deontay Johnson to the Carolina Panthers, though. So not bad. Dolphins, nothing super huge. Jonnu Smith signs there. That could be a pretty decent move. Shaq Barrett signing there. Jordan Poyer signed there. That's the big name. Jordan Brooks, also a 3-year, $30 million contract. Really like that signing. I have him also as a dynasty defensive guy. Man, a ton of great moves. Cowboys not doing a lot at all. Thinking that they're going to try to do a little bit more, but honestly, they haven't Jerry Jones'd it right now, so that's not horrible.
One thing I do want to talk about, and this kind of I was going to talk about this a little bit with the Cordarrelle Patterson. That is last night, or I believe a couple days ago, the NFL. I believe this was yesterday. The NFL officially changes the rules for kickoffs.
Oh yeah,
which will be implemented at this. That changes the value of good kick returners, because before the last two seasons, like, kick returns have been an all-time low.
Yep.
Now they're going to be exponentially happen more often. So the new rules are, instead of the kicking team's kicker will continue to kick from the 35 yard line, but rather than have the rest of his teammates there, they will be on the 40 yard line. And now no one can move until the ball is caught or hits the ground. Which is going, that is vastly going to change how
it addresses the issues with with the dude, just people running at full steam.
Yeah.
Crashing into each other. You know, this is great for the league. I'm glad you brought that up. Some people are not liking it or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't want you to bring up the other big complaint, because if you look down at Snaps Your Stick, I'm going to be complaining a little bit. Okay. So we can talk whichever side you land on. We can talk about that. But
yeah, and this will also the change of kickoff will also vastly change onside kicks. It will make it so that teams can no longer really have a surprise onside kick. Because they can't move until it touches the ground. So no longer can they kick it, you know, a squid kick and then grab it. So obviously that changes onside kicks a good bit. But yeah, so it's, this is going to be, I'm excited to see what this does for the, especially the enjoyability of watching kickoffs. All right, so let's move on. Let's see. I think we're done with that. Let's move into games of the week.
Games of the week. Bobby and Brandon do the work, so you don't have to. The best from around the NHL and what to watch.
All righty. So, since the last time we were on, I had a perfect week. And I'm feeling good, feeling confident.
2-1. I went 2-1. Oh, I wasn't.
Yeah, yeah, no. I'm expanding that lead, so you know, just gotta keep on at that. Currently, the records are: I am at 27-16, Bond is at 22-21, but we are in the final stretch of the season. So
yeah, and I've decided, Bobby, I am gonna give you the Games of the Week Cup, but I'm holding it hostage until I get my 2022 championship ring.
Yes. Yep. Which needs to be ordered. Yeah.
And so technically,
now just for the listener, he has the most recent. Yeah, yeah.
I have what?
He isn't. Yeah, he got his most recent ring technically. Yes. Right. Yeah.
Right.
So it just we need to get you that 2022 one.
Yes, because you bought it in 2023, but this was technically the 2022. But I'll count it for this year.
I'll just put that on there for you, Bobby. Can you even see?
Yeah,
I'm blinding you.
I don't know. Let me go ahead and make a note of that real quick.
Make a note. Make a note. I'm a calm man, Bob, but I'm not giving up the hardware unless it comes. Right. The hardware comes back.
Yep. I will order that today. All right. So I'll start us off. That is Friday, 6 p.m. We've got only one game. So we technically both chose this game.
We did.
That is the New Jersey Devils going up to Buffalo for a fight against the Sabres. I've got the Devils. They have beaten the Sabres both times previously they've met this season. I think the Devils stay hot, pun intended, and they beat the Sabres.
Not a bad call. I'm going to go with the Sabres because I didn't hate the matchup, and since there was only one game, I didn't want to do three Saturday games. You can go ahead and do your Saturday game, because then I'll do both of mine and let you finish it off.
Okay. So on Saturday, also at 6 p.m., we've got a Canadian matchup, and that is Ottawa Senators going, taking a flight west out to Winnipeg. And listen, we talked about the Jets earlier. Jets are struggling. I think they get back on track. I think they make this an exciting finish to the season.
Okay.
As much as I don't want them to, I think the Jets win this game.
Okay. Don't hate it. Don't hate it. All right. So I have two games on Saturday because, again, there was only one game on Sunday, and I didn't want to pick opposite of Bobby on that one, and you'll see why momentarily. I went with the Hurricanes Canadiens on the 30th at 6 p.m. Saturday, I'm going to go with the Canes, and the Kings are playing the Flames on the same day, Saturday the 30th, and I'm going to go with the Kings. That's 9 p.m., by the way. And so going both away teams, Bob, maybe that's a mistake, but I'm hoping you go 0-3, mostly, is what I'm hoping.
Yeah. Yep. All right, so my last game, and you'll probably see why Brandon decided to take two Saturday games. There's only one game on Sunday. And that is the Anaheim Ducks flying up to take on the Vancouver Canucks. So obviously I'm taking a strong Vancouver team. Okay. This is at an afternoon 2:30 p.m. a puck drop. So yeah, he didn't take that because obviously then he would be stuck with the Ducks. And listen,
the games
for a reason. The Ducks could go in there and get the upset.
Absolutely.
But
Feel bad about not taking them if you take an L. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to take the loss if they win, but then I would be taking the loss of having to take the Ducks. So
yeah,
I'm good with the trade off.
Yeah. Now we're going to start we're at that point in the season where if you have a bad week and I have a good week, we're getting close to having to look clenching at mathematical eliminations.
You might hear the echoes from the crowd of saying, hey, finish off strong, playoff time.
Oh,
picking five games, dude, 5 games a week. You know what I'm saying? So I look, the people are always right, Bobby. And so if that's what the people are saying, I mean, who are we to deny them to a strong, we'll see where we get to here. Yeah. I was the one that called for the 3-game season. So for it to change now would be probably okay with me. I need more games to pick from.
But all right, let's move into our joke of the week.
The weird.
Corey Perry.
Yeah, I don't like this. Oh.
Wild.
I think the first read was a good one. Now I'm overthinking it.
Outlandish.
Each sixth chick sat on a stick. A little tongue twister.
And downright dumb.
You're kidding me.
It's time for the joke of the week.
All right, so we are going up to merry old London, England.
London, England.
For one of the most ironic stories I've seen. And frankly, scrolling through Reddit, there's a lot of just sad or
I know too, they've really killed not political. The onion they've really killed not the yeah. onion by making it just things that are sad, you know, like it's not yeah. just sad things, it's like this is unbelievable, I cannot
but
believe this
I think
happened,
this is a is more of the this is a gem yeah gem. This story is an old school not the onion story. So I labeled this No Honor Among Thieves. A British museum is suing one of their curators for stealing artifacts. So the British Museum is suing a former curator. It says stole 1,800 items and tried to sell them.
What? So, I think it's the selling, Bob. I think it's the selling that's throwing them off. They didn't sell it, dude. They sold tickets to see it, dude. They don't understand. Yeah. Like, if you sell it, it's final. Then you don't have it anymore. You have to make people pay to see it.
Now, here's the thing. If you don't understand why this is ironic, I can't help you. Do some research. But what I will say is that originally
steal artifacts. Yeah. Folks. I'm not thinking that you're high level and you're going to go read into this. Then it's not a funny joke. The British have stolen all of those 1,800 artifacts were previously stolen from other people is what Bobby finds funny.
Yeah. Now, here's what's also funny. The museum director, Hartwig Fisher, resigned because he did not take seriously enough some warnings from an art historian that told him, hey, a bunch of your artifacts are being sold on eBay, and he didn't believe them. So he was just like, oh, yeah, I doubt it.
That's a fake.
Yeah, dude.
That's a fake. I can tell. I'm a museum director.
It's insane that like if someone comes up to you, he's like, hey, someone is stealing your stuff is on eBay. He doesn't even take the 30 seconds check the back room.
I have found the real joke here, Bobby. So sorry that I didn't know the headline. The real joke. Are you serious that this man was selling it publicly on the internet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's more of like he didn't have a fence.
It wasn't on the black market.
He didn't have like a fence or anything. Like he was obviously not like locked into the world. Like he could just be selling. He could have sold this stuff to like billionaire Russians, dude. You know, like that's the game. Yeah. Like you want to sell it to a fence and they sell it to a billionaire Russian who doesn't care. It's not going to have anybody come back and get this painting. But if you sell it on eBay, like again, somebody's going to be like, hey,
the Mona Lisa just went up for sale, dude. And aren't you guys missing that? Like, if we should investigate it a little bit.
Yeah. Now, I think a good lawyer, or if he gets a good lawyer, which I don't know how much stuff he sold, he could probably afford one, could get him out of this. Because here are some of the things, here's a bunch of the collections that he sold. Egyptian mummies, ancient Greek statues, Chinese poetry, and masks from the indigenous peoples of Canada.
I'm so sorry.
I'm going to tell you right now, a good lawyer will say, hey, he didn't steal from the British, because the British, these weren't the British for him to steal from.
And well, but fair enough. But then I'll tell you this, then the British will be like, fair enough. Egypt, do you want him? And honestly, let's, you know what? Everybody just calm down. Just calm down.
That would be maybe, the most British thing to just years of punishment. Yeah.
I don't want to go to an Egyptian prison. Maybe we go back. I quick saved before I did that. Yeah. Let's go back to before I got jurisdiction in Egypt, dude.
Or he says, let's deal with Canada first, and let's see if I can get to Canadian prison before we...
I will. If you put Canada next in line, dude, I'm in. If we go straight to Egypt, I am out.
The British government blames
prison. A North African prison just ain't gonna be good for me, dude. Personally, I'm because
I tell you what,
I don't speak the language or anything, dude. I'm gonna die, bro.
The most British thing that they could do is using this man as a scapegoat for the centuries of them stealing artifacts.
100%.
You're gonna go to each of these countries, and you're taking the blame for all of us,
which brings up kind of more probably what the bigger joke should have been today. But speaking of Fall Guys, Shohei Ohtani, and maybe we'll talk about the betting this week. His interpreter Ipe, taking some big heat for, you know, betting and stealing money and all this stuff. Pete, we'll talk more about it next week because we totally spaced on it. Let's just say Pete Rose came out with a video and said, man, in the 70s, I wish I would have had an interpreter. If I would have had an interpreter, I would have been good to go. So there's a whole lot more to the story. Some questionable information on both sides. A lot of questions, Bob. So I don't think we have enough time. Maybe we make it our joke of the week next week, and we get into what a kind of a joke that is. So,
yeah. Let's move into what's snapping your stick.
Bobby and Brandon are about to find out exactly what snaps their sticks.
All right, so, this snaps my stick comes from today. The wife and I went up to Murfreesboro Medical Clinic, just kind of like a routine thing that we went up to. And
we just routinely go up to doctor's offices and hang out.
Yeah. Well,
that's how that sounded. We had a routine. Routine appointment in which you had to go.
Routine appointment.
We just routinely go up to the doctor's office and check out the medical plaza. Dude, what's up with y'all?
We pull a British Museum on some of the, you know, medicine's expensive. So anyway, we pass by, we go to park. Now we spend about 15, 20 minutes going through every single parking lot. Couldn't find one. Now there is an extremely large parking lot that's almost 90% empty. It's for physicians only. Big gate won't let you in. It's also a massive parking garage, bigger than any other parking there. Again, like 90% empty for physicians only. Listen, I don't know the inner workings of a place like Murfreesboro Medical Clinic, but I have to assume that there are more patients than there are doctors and nurses and stuff there.
But how many years of school do all of you guys have comparatively to those guys, dude? They're doctors, bro. They need entire...
And that's fine.
That's my floor of the parking garage, dude. And I throw a little cookout.
It's three spaces to one... For every Mercedes, you get three spaces.
That's what I'm saying. They don't park in straight into the thing. They just slide in, dude, in the side, dude. Every side of the parking garage is just a one-car park. So, yes.
But it is real annoying. And, you know, and the thing is, they're, and my wife, you know, when her aunt was going through chemo, they are special spots for cancer patients. But even those are fully filled up because this is also, there's cancer patients.
There's lots,
you
know.
And so you've got.
It's not a one person type deal, you know, not one per state, every couple per couple per hospital, dude. We got one. Get the spot ready. But, no, it's, you know, they're traditional.
Even those are all filled up. And that's the thing is, and that's a whole nother thing.
Let me ask you this, Bobby.
There was somebody. Yeah.
You thought about becoming a doctor, bud? Never thought about that, did you? Just a quick doc. Yeah.
See, oh, well, man. The thing is, they got real lucky they used the word physician and not doctor parking, because then any Jim, Bob, and Sally who just so happen to get a doctor in education.
Any art, literature, PhD is like, look.
Yeah, which,
they become,
and maybe I'll use that as a snap of my stick later on, but I've got some opinions that I've been hated on where people who get called doctors if you're not a medical doctor. But maybe we'll save that for another
time. Oh, well, it's literally in the name, Bobby. Dr. Rich. I am Ray Holting you right now, if that's what you're wondering. It's literally in the name. They co-opted. Anyway, so mine, the other big NFL rule change has been the banning of the hip drop tackle. Now, I'm not at all here to defend or complain about it being banned, or the opposite of saying that that I'm glad that it was banned. I don't know a whole lot about the particular tackle in itself. They literally said it happens about once a game, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bobby, you're the bigger football guy. It's literally when, if I were to grab a hold of you and not just try to tackle you like that, it's when I try to throw my weight forward onto you and like land on you to tackle. Right? Is that not correct on the hip drop tackle? It's when you're literally running and you throw your legs and your body weight forward to almost like pal drive the guy.
So it's kind of a little bit. It's
a little bit like that.
It's not exactly. It's kind of hard. It's one of those things where
it's one of those super rare, hard.
I would say a hip drop tackle is much like porn. It's harder to find, but you know it when you see it.
You know it when you see it. It happens so rarely, but we've seen guys that have gotten rolled up on or grabbed or thrown, you know, and it's a crazy tackle.
Yeah. So pretty much the best way to explain it. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm okay with the complaints of people. The you're taking away certain aspects of football and yada yada and all this, that's fine. And I don't necessarily agree with it. It seems like the videos I've watched of the actual hip drop tackles seem pretty dangerous and seem pretty avoidable by any parties. But I'm not speaking to that. The people that are just complaining and are misleading folks. Like a guy came out and was like, imagine this being a penalty. And it was when DK Metcalf like hunts that man down after the interception and tackles him. That's not a hip drop tackle. You know what I'm saying? Like so many people are saying you're killing football. You're not allowing people to can't even tackle people getting run down. Like, no, dude, like I can literally you be running and I can jump into you and wrap you up and take you down, dude. There's nothing wrong with that. And so I hate the fact that you're making me for them banning it because you're not actually explaining the actual rule and you're just assuming that I'm ignorant to football and saying now guys can't even tackle. Well, no. That's like saying when you couldn't horse collar guys anymore, that, oh my gosh, you're ruining football. You're killing football.
But like used to, they didn't play with shoulder pads. So like you couldn't do that. So what do you mean you're ruining football? Like are you saying shoulder pads ruin football because they give some with it? So like it's all those little things. Like, dude, horse collar tackles were dangerous as hell, dude. And they should be banned. They're nasty. Yeah. Like they can really hurt somebody not actually tackling them. You know, you're just grabbing their equipment to. So I don't want to give my opinion one way or the other, whether it should or shouldn't be banned. But my complaint is how people are trying to tell me football's dead and then using things and examples that are not true. That's not true. That's not a hip drop tackle, dude. You know, that's a tackle. That's a tackle. So that's my complaint.
Yeah. I will say, just to give the listeners kind of, the best way to describe a hip drop tackle, because it is a little confusing, is if you have someone running and you come from directly in behind them or from like maybe 45 degrees from behind them and you grab them by the waist and you throw your body into their back of their knees and you use your weight and gravity to come down.
Yeah.
So now you are between their knees and now it causes them to fall backwards and it creates more injuries in your lower body.
Like I said, I don't want to give my opinion, but just you should go. If you have an opinion that it's stupid that they banned them, go watch a video of actual hip drop tackles and tell me, okay, yeah, we could probably avoid that. You know, like I understand that they're trying to make offense better and all this stuff. I don't understand how you not being able to throw your weight on somebody. And cause like the thing is, Bob, I think it's also like they're making false equivalencies. Like, oh, they just accidentally happened. Like, no, dude, they're pretty intentional ways to tackle somebody. Right. Like, it's not like you accidentally fall into this. Like generally that would be more purposeful because it's more control over your lower half of your body on purpose.
Yeah.
So that would be my argument.
I think the biggest issue that people have is that there have been bad rule changes. For example, when you sack a quarterback, you can't the body weight thing.
Absolutely.
Here's the thing: 90% of the time, your body naturally falls on because you're running at full speed. You tackle someone; it happens in an instant. That means 10% of the time. It's a little bit questionable and you could have moved, but you didn't.
It's one of those though that the NFL is a business and also you are a few guys ruin it for the rest of the party. Just like everything good we have in life, that dude's 300-400 pounds were falling on the moneymakers of the league. You know, love Vince Wilfork, love Tony Siragusa, love those dudes. But those dudes are not who make this league money. No offense.
They're not the business. Jerseys.
And I think there's some silly stuff that they do to protect quarterbacks. But so I think that the body weight rule is kind of silly and it should be a case by case basis of like, but I'm okay. But it's one of those things that, look, man, if quarterbacks don't get crushed by people, you know, I think that it's still better for football. No offense.
100%. You know? Yeah. Yeah. And that's what people have to remember is that this sport, like if you look at how different this sport is than 60 years ago, 70 years ago, it's a different sport.
We want to pretend
now.
Football's dead.
Want to say like it's
well,
not
maybe
gonna change.
You go play football with a leather helmet, dude. No shoulder pads and no knee. You know what I'm saying? Like it things evolve, bro. Things get better.
Things will be
football
different
to die completely
in 60 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look at help. And I think that's just sports fans. Look at the throwback or pushback baseball's gotten for just making it a little bit quicker. We shaved like 2 minutes off of a game and people freaked out.
Fair, the average age of a baseball fan, Bobby, 92 years old. Like, dude, what are you doing? Why are you making this quicker? I did this because this is one of the last few things I'm going to do on earth. I was hoping to be here 4 or 5 hours. So I'm now.
But you would think that these old ass people
now,
would want to get more baseball games in their life.
Now I have to go yell at a member of the service industry.
look what you've done. Look what you've done, dude.
Yeah. But all right, guys, thanks for hanging out with us. We're going to figure out, I don't know what our recording schedule looks like, but we will hopefully be back with you next week. For Brandon, I'm Bobby. This has been the Pucks Out Podcast, and have a great one.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Pucks Out Podcast. To see what other ridiculousness the guys are up to, check them out on Twitter and Instagram at Pucks Out Pod.